The Big Ten has made the biggest impact on the first round of the NFL draft.
You are Locked On Big Ten, your daily podcast on the Big Ten Conference. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hey there, welcome into Locked On Big Ten. Everything you need to know about the Big Ten Conference every day of the week. I'm your host, Nate Dickinson. Thank you for making Locked On Big Ten your first listen every day. We are free and wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Coming up on today's Locked On Big Ten, we're going to get into the first round of the NFL draft. The Big Ten has 9 players taken in that first round, and still plenty of others who could have been first round picks out there on the board now. So we'll go into my thoughts on the first round of picks of Big Ten players, and also look at who the best available players out of this conference are still on the board. But first, let's dive into the picks that have already been made. As I mentioned, 9 Big Ten players have their name called on the first day of the NFL draft, and they start with CJ Stroud. As we expected, Stroud, one of the early picks in the draft, didn't know exactly where he would go, but it turns out number 2 to the Texans is the spot, as Houston ends up grabbing both the number 2 picks and the number 3 pick. Goes CJ Stroud, Will Anderson of Alabama. And obviously, Stroud is going to have some big opportunities here early. He's a guy who's going to be plug and play a starter for that Houston Texan team. I mean, obviously, you get picked this high in the draft. That's the way you're going to go. But for him, it's going to be a little bit of a struggle probably to produce right away. We see, first off, very, very rarely are these rookie quarterbacks just really, really good right out of the gates. We see guys have really, really good second seasons. We see guys who are starting to figure it out in their rookie years. But very, very seldomly do we see a player actually come into this league and take it by storm in a way that makes a big impact right away. So when we're talking about players who are going to make the biggest headlines in the first season, it may not be Stroud. It'll be fun to see him play, and he will be playing, which is more than what we'll be able to say about all of these Big Ten players picked. But when we're looking at CJ Stroud, I'm looking at a guy who's going to a team who is far from just a quarterback away in the Houston Texans. He's probably going to have to take some hits, both in the win column and quite literally, as Houston has a whole lot of other stuff to figure out. And again, they get themselves Will Anderson 2 at the 3 spot, but he'll be playing on the other side of the football. So there's still a lot of stuff for Houston to figure out. CJ Stroud is what they're hoping is the starting piece to build around. So he can hopefully get himself developed quickly, get himself some experience as a rookie. But with CJ Stroud, it's not like we have much to analyze here. He was the quarterback who was going to be at the top of this first round. We didn't know exactly where, but now it's just a matter of waiting to see him get out there and see how the game exactly translates to the next level. We know he has the football IQ. We know he has the accuracy with the arm. It's just going to be a matter of seeing how he fits in with this Houston team. Moving on, because we got a lot to talk about. Next Big Ten player off the board, the number 5 pick, the Seattle Seahawks trade into Devin Witherspoon. Witherspoon was somebody who, at least in my eyes, was as much of a lock as you could be to go to the Detroit Lions at number 6. It seemed like that was the point where we would start getting corners taken off the board. Detroit had its name connected to Witherspoon for a little bit of time here now. It seemed like it was a match made in heaven, but instead the Seahawks swoop in from right in front of Detroit and end up taking Witherspoon with their pick. And this is a very, very interesting pick to start off the career for Devin Witherspoon. He gets to go into a Seattle defense here, which already has a decent corner piece. When you look at what Seattle has here, a guy like Tariq Woolen, who is another young player, was taken in the 5th round of the 2022 draft. He's panned out to be a really, really good player to start off his career. And Devin Witherspoon, I mean, he's a top 5 pick. There's a reason why he's that. There's a reason why he was the first corner taken off this board. This is somebody who has rookie of the year potential right away, because there's another talented corner there opposite him, another young guy who he can work off of and work together and learn with. This potential duo could be threatening for Seattle for years to come. And right now you've got yourself a guy in Witherspoon who's going to be able to provide that playmaker ability that could be that missing piece that Seattle's secondary needed. Because while there have been pieces for Seattle in that defensive secondary, it has been a long time since they've been really, really good. And he is that kind of really, really good corner who's going to be able to get picks, going to be able to defend balls, going to be able to be that kind of all over the place kind of defender that Seattle's secondary is really, really lacking. So that's a great pick for Seattle. Moving on right down the line, very next pick, the Arizona Cardinals, as Detroit then trades out of its pick. The Cardinals get there and get Paris Johnson Jr., first lineman taken off the board out of Ohio State, and the Cardinals need it badly. It has not been much of a secret, the struggles of Kyler Murray. And while part of that has been attributed to Murray fairly, part of it is because he has been moving around a whole lot and the offensive line has not been able to keep up with him. Paris Johnson Jr. is the kind of guy who, on the outside, can be someone who has the mobility and versatility to maybe try to at least keep up with the scrambling and jittery Kyler Murray, but at the very least is able to shore up a Cardinal offensive line that really, really needs some help here. And they're hoping at the very least that this is the start of Kyler Murray being able to get back to the old or the good Kyler Murray, at least a little bit more consistently too. Moving on, next pick, another offensive lineman out of the Big Ten was the number 11 pick to the Titans, Peter Skoronski. A couple of different ways that Tennessee can go with this. Tennessee's out of left tackle. Taylor Luan is no longer on that team. So Peter Skoronski could fight for that left tackle job. He was a tackle at Northwestern. But the report on him leading up to this draft has been that he is much more fit, at least in the NFL, at the guard spot. So what happens here with Tennessee? Do they try to fit him into that tackle role that fills a need here? Or do you plug him into the guard spot where he's likely to be more successful, and also which would help Tennessee as well on the offensive line too, as they have a couple of holes that they need to fill there. So where Skoronski plays is what I'm looking at if I'm a Northwestern fan, looking at my alumni and seeing where they're going. Because he could still be a tackle next season, but it's also very likely that he ends up on the inside of that offensive line too. The number 13 pick, the Green Bay Packers, and a classic Packers pick in Lucas Van Ness, the defensive end out of Iowa. Guy who has not played or started for Iowa at all, but the Packers pick best available. And they believe that this guy has that kind of a ceiling with what he's able to do on the football field. Despite not starting, was still an impact player, 10 tackles for loss. I believe it was this last season for Iowa. He's a guy who is going to potentially be really, really good down the road. But again, the Packers are looking at the ceiling here, not what he's going to be able to do for them right away. It's a trend of what they do during draft season. And this is somebody who's going to be able to come in and I think is really good for him. The fact that he does not have to be relied on to be a big playmaker right away, because I think the focus should be on developing Van Ness as a football player, as a technique guy, and seeing where he can go next. You've got a guy in Preston Smith over there at Green Bay who's already really, really good. So if he can help mentor Van Ness into being the next one of him, then this is an extremely successful pick for the Packers because they've got talent there. They know that they're getting a really potentially good talent in what they're getting in this player. Now it's a matter of molding him and not having to have him take those kind of rookie bruises right off the bat, and being able to learn some more is really going to help his development. One of my favorite picks in the entire first round, or the most surprising pick in my eye, and the first round came a little bit before my favorite pick, number 18 to the Detroit Lions, Iowa linebacker Jack Campbell. Jack Campbell's a great player, don't get me wrong here, and I think he's going to be a really successful NFL player too. But when you looked at NFL draft projections, Campbell was a second round pick pretty much around the board, if not falling into the third round even. But he ends up going 18 to the Lions. And this was, again, easily the most surprising of the Big Ten first round picks and maybe the most surprising first round pick just period in what the Big Ten had here in this first round. He was someone I was almost assured we were going to be talking about in the next segment about best available here on day two. Instead, the Detroit Lions take him, and he's going to be someone who gets plugged into that defense and is relied on to anchor there in the middle. Inside linebacker, Detroit must have loved something about this guy. Because when you're drafting Jack Campbell and drafting him this early, you are plugging him in not just to be your middle linebacker, but to be the leader of this defense. Because he is the one who's going to be calling all the shots. And again, Detroit must have seen something that they loved about him in either the tape or the combine or the interview process to be able to take him what was nearly a full round, if not more, depending on where you look at for your draft projections of where he was going to go. Like a full round higher. So give credit to the Lions for making a gutsy pick, and we'll see if it works out. I believe in Jack Campbell. It's just, it was not exactly where he was projected to go. My favorite Big Ten pick of the first round came two picks later, number 20 to the Seattle Seahawks, Ohio State's Jaxon Smith-Njigba. This is ideal for this guy going here. He could have been picked much, much earlier. He is the first wide receiver picked off the board at number 20, and he goes into a system where he especially is going to be able to thrive. Because Smith-Njigba, we mentioned, while maybe he won't be the first wide receiver taken off the board, turns out he was, he is the absolute best slot receiver that any team could pick in this draft. So if you had a guy who wanted to be able to fill that kind of a hole, Smith-Njigba was going to be the player to do it. And the Seahawks are that perfect team. You've got on the outside, on one end, DK Metcalf, huge guy, going to be able to attract double teams, going to cause defenses problem. On the other side, Tyler Lockett, guy who can go deep, guy who can pressure a defense out the long way to stretch you. And then you put right in the middle of it, Jaxon Smith-Njigba in the slot to be able to spread out a defense. That trio is going to be incredibly powerful right away the second it hits the field. And I'm really excited to see what Pete Carroll ends up doing schematically and play calling wise as far as getting all three of them the ball. Because I think that passing offense, those three receivers are just perfect fits for each other at the start of next season. I'm really excited to see how the Seahawks use Jaxon Smith-Njigba once he gets out onto the field. Last picks to tell you about. At number 25, the Giants took Maryland cornerback Deonte Banks. He fills a need for New York. They've had injury problems at corner. They've had just a whole lot of good passing games to play against, too. You've got the Cowboys in that division. You've got the Eagles in that division. A whole lot of really good wide receivers. So this is just a guy who fills a hole, as is Mazi Smith, number 27 to the Cowboys. Cowboys have a really good defense. But even though he's getting picked at the end of the first round here, and it's on a really, really talented team, Mazi Smith out of Michigan is going to be plugged right into that defensive line and hopefully be a big impact player right away. So that's someone where, again, not everyone who's picked in the first round even is going to get playing time right away, like a Lucas Van Ness. But at 27, Mazi Smith, defensive tackle out of Michigan, he's someone the Cowboys want to use as soon as he gets out on the field. And that's all nine of them. Nine Big Ten players selected in the first round of this draft, and a whole lot more still yet to come. After the break, we're going to talk a minute about who is still left on the board out of the Big Ten. The best players left available, coming up in just a moment here on Locked On Big Ten. Before we get into that, though, if you're looking for a delicious snack but don't want all of the sugar and calories, then you need to check out the best tasting protein bar ever, Built Bar. It's everything you want out of a protein bar. We're talking 130 calories only, with only 4 grams of sugar and 17 grams of protein. It uses 100% real chocolate in all of its bars. This thing looks like a candy bar. It tastes like a candy bar. But as I just rallied off for you, it does not have all of the nasty stuff inside it that a candy bar does. You can get your health kick while also getting a tasty snack over at built.com, where you can try out all of the new flavors that are coming out all of the time too. So head on over to built.com to try out Built Bar today, or if you're close to a Sam's Club, run in and grab a 13 bar box with our hip flavors brownie batter puff and churro puff. Built Bar at built.com. Also, next time here on Locked On Big Ten, we're going to get into more here on what's going on in the transfer portal across the board in the Big Ten. A whole lot of stuff to talk about, and any other big news that's going on across the conference too, we'll get into. That's coming up right here next time on Locked On Big Ten. All right, let's dive into the players still available in the draft right now out of the Big Ten Conference. I've got a few names that I want to tell you about, just names to watch as we get into the second day of our draft coverage. First name is a name that I didn't think was still going to be here. Cornerback Joey Porter Jr., Penn State, a guy who I thought had the potential to be one of those first corners taken off the board. He was not. He falls all the way into the second round, but I promise you this, he is not someone who's going to last very long. He is the best corner available. There are always teams who are needing or able to take a corner. So I expect like first five picks of this second day here, we get Joey Porter Jr. off the board to somebody, whoever it may be. Guy's just a little bit too talented. In my opinion, a first round talent, and somebody is going to be able to get a little bit of a steal, if you ask me, wherever they take Joey Porter Jr. Next guy is Wisconsin defensive tackle Keanu Benton. This is another situation where it's just a matter of who needs this spot. Because if you need an interior defensive lineman, as far as who's available on the board, Keanu Benton is easily the next player off of that board. There's nobody else as far as defensive tackles anywhere really close as far as the official best available lists. So whoever decides that they want to fill that spot, Keanu Benton is the guy. He's a taller nose tackle, but that's been something that he's been able to kind of disprove as far as his ability to get low and anchor his weight. He's been able to at least disprove some of the hate on that front. A couple of players I want to talk about together here because they're basically right next to each other and going to be picked close together, if you ask me. Wisconsin's Joe Tippmann and Minnesota's John Michael Schmitz. They are the top two centers on the board. They were the top two centers on the board when we started this draft. It's just that there isn't really a huge need for a center at the moment. And also, these two aren't, while they are really good, not entirely dominant at the position to warrant getting them into the first round. So you have with both of them still available. I thought there was a chance one might get taken in the first round, but now that we have both of them still available, I think there is a chance that one of these guys, whoever doesn't get picked first, could end up sliding all the way even into the third round too, just because of the need of position here. But that's more a matter of, again, what teams need than it is what these players are. And that's a lot of the way that the draft plays out most of the time too. Iowa tight end Sam Laporta. This is another guy I could see falling. He's someone who is high on the best available board, at least on all the websites that I'm looking at where the board's at right now. And I'm thinking, I don't know who exactly wants to take a second round pick on a tight end that's only 6'3". Laporta has all sorts of productive numbers, but when it comes to his ability to translate to the NFL level, there's still some questions. And with the way that the first round played out, with the teams that are, going to be picking first in the second round and how things could play out, I could see easily Sam Laporta end up falling to that third round as well, because there's some good guys who end up getting left off the board in the first round who I think teams are going to have to end up reaching for just because they're still there. Last name I want to talk about is one that I could barely pronounce. Adetomiwa Adebare is the Northwestern defensive lineman who just blew everyone away at the combine, put up that 4.49 at 380 pounds or whatever it was. He's a guy who, now that he's getting towards his name on the draft board, I think we see a team go ahead and go up and reach to just get him a little bit before somebody else can. Like middle of the second round, maybe getting into like the 50s or something, or maybe even late 40s. That's when I think we see a team go up and snag him, because even with the great combine performance, he was thought of as late second, early third round. I think he could get it up to like a round two, pick 12 or 13. Someone goes up and, just because they really want him, grabs him before anybody else does, because he is going to be someone who a lot of teams have circled as, at the very least, if not, hey, let's go up and get this guy. If it comes to us and he falls down here, we're going to have to take him. So you know he's not going to be off the board all too long. Those are all the names I wanted to tell you about. There's obviously a whole lot more that's going to be selected over the course of these next couple of days. But as far as the ones that we'll hear next, those are the ones that are most likely out there to be heard. But again, we had surprises. Joey Porter going in the first round, not something I was expecting. Who will get picked earlier or later than expected? We don't know. When we find out, you'll be able to hear about it here on Locked On Big Ten. Let's wrap up with some news from around the Big Ten Conference as we finish up today's show. First off, another rescheduling of a football game. Purdue is moving its game against Wisconsin to Friday, September 22nd. Again, that's just another game moving up a day from Saturday to Friday. We've had that happen a bunch over the last few days as teams are just finalizing how they're going to play this season. In other news, Big Ten Women's Tennis Tournament has started. It's taking place at Purdue in West Lafayette. We'll get you the top results that you need to know from that when we are next with you. Adrien DeMont de Chassart has been named the Big Ten Men's Golfer of the Week out of Illinois. And 8 Big Ten women's golf teams have qualified for the NCAA Regionals. Maryland, Michigan State, Michigan, Nebraska, Northwestern, Ohio State, and Purdue all making the cut. That takes place on May 8th through 10th. It'll be 72 teams in different regionals competing for 30 spots at the national tournament. That's all for Locked On Big Ten here today. Be sure to follow us wherever it is that you get your podcasts, on YouTube and on Twitter too, at Locked On Big Ten, 10 at the end, not T-E-N. I'm Nate Dickinson at Nate with Sports, and this has been Locked On Big Ten.